Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Please welcome to the show this evening, JJ Rose.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
People often ask the question, how far do you remember back in your younger years? And the answer is usually, perhaps maybe around anywhere after 3 years old. But my guest this evening has one up on many. At the young age of 6 months years old, my guest this evening, JJ Rose, was already coming into not only her awakening, but her special gifts passed on to her. JJ Rose is a medium. She is a psychic. She's an energy clearer, an entity remover. She knows a lot about psychometry, telepathy, dream precognition, and she is not only a white witch, but she is a non-denominational ordained minister. JJ believes her God, spirit, and universe guides help her in what she is needed for. May that be giving a message to somebody, or may that be a healing where someone is in distress and they need to have better understanding of their situation. JJ is also an empath, someone who can feel the stresses and the strains and the happiness of what others have a tendency to give off within their own energy fields. JJ's goal is to help others learn more about themselves so they can be self-reliant in their own intuitions. JJ feels her specialty is entity and energy clearing and entity removal. Yes, as in exorcisms. We had a lot to talk about this evening, and it was a very interesting discussion from top to bottom. So please sit back and enjoy and meet my special guest, JJ Rose. Well, good evening, JJ, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Kelly, so much for having me.
Oh, this should be a very interesting show. You have a lot of gifts, and I'm hoping to at least touch on at least half of them before this show is over with. So I guess, as they say, we better get started. So, JJ, I want you to go back probably to the youngest time you can remember, earlier age, and try and bring us into your world a little bit about when either you came into your abilities or whether or not you had an experience that kind of started the whole ball rolling. You take it from there and bring us through your experience.
Okay. Well, I'm a little different than most people with their origin stories because I've been like this my entire life. Mm-hmm. I come from a long lineage on both sides where everyone was like me. And then some, and it was understood. It was talked about privately within the family unit. But one of my earliest memories is I was maybe 6 months old.
Wow.
And I was at a daycare center that my parents would take me to. And there was a special room when I needed a nap that they would put me kind of in a little, what we would call like a carrier now, and put me down to nap. And the woman who ran the place had two Siamese cats, and they would come and sit next to me. Mm-hmm. Now, years later, when I'm about 6, 7 years old, we're in the grocery store, and we end up running into the woman who did the daycare. And she's so excited to see me growing up. And she goes, oh, do you remember me? And I said, yes. And she kind of looks a little strange. And I described the room to a T and her cats. Mm-hmm. And the last time I had seen her, I was 7 months old.
Wow. So, ever have a discussion with your family or, you know, the ones that had these abilities about where their gifts were at and if you were as strong, if not stronger?
It changes through time, right? Because obviously the way that I believe is that you're given gifts during time frames when A, they're needed, but also when you have the maturity to use them properly.
Okay.
You know, the movie Firestarter is a great example, right? You don't want to give that ability to a child who is going to react to everything with that intense childish anger.
Yeah.
So a lot of my gifts have kind of grown over time. There were just certain things that I instinctually knew. And because everyone in my immediate close family had them too, it was just normal for us. Like, you know, things moving around the house without people moving them was normal. We would see people come in and out of the house that weren't physically there in our capacity and talk about them. So I had a really wonderful growing up where that was fostered. I was taught, you know, how to harness it, how to control certain things, not to talk about it with everyone, because obviously I'm from an older generation where, you know, I couldn't really even be open with all of my talents and who I am until maybe about 10, 15 years ago. It was still somewhat kind of shied away from or frowned upon. So the society we live in now where people can be so open with their gifts is amazing and wonderful. But, you know, you're my first physical interview that I've ever done where I've shown my face. Mm-hmm. Almost everything I've done before, I kind of hide behind the scenes. And the reason I agreed to do this with you is I had done a physical convention that I went to. Mm-hmm. And 7 days from the day that I showed my face in public, your invite came in. Yeah. And obviously the number 7 is Spirit's way of saying, okay, we're doing this now. So yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm flattered, first of all. Secondly, you're in a safe space, but I can't guarantee that who might contact you after the show is over. Do you find that this your gifts are more on the maternal side, or did it not matter? That's I've been hearing lately maternal, maternal, maternal. Where do you think yours, which side do you think yours came from?
Both.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Definitely both. The fact that it's interesting because we've kind of traced it back, and my parents would have met one of 8 different ways.
Okay.
There were so many interesting kind of collisions there, just with people they knew and their paths, how they crossed. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of inevitable. I always joke that if I had come out with no gifts whatsoever from the lineage I'm from, I would have known I was adopted.
So, yeah, probably, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But the gifts were extremely strong on both sides. And going back generations, I know many stories from both lineages. My mother's side, we actually found out, well, I found out some years ago watching the History Channel that I'm a direct descendant from one of the women who was hung in the Salem witch trials.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. a little bit of a touchy topic for me in the past. I've always felt some kind of way about that. But when I started researching even more, I found out I was actually related to 3 people from that time period, because, you know, they were settlers, right? So there weren't a ton of them that came over, and everyone was kind of related to everyone. Mm-hmm. But that definitely explained my passion for those types of atrocities and making sure that people would understand, you know, why are you scared of the witches and not scared of the people that were burning them, based off what a 12-year-old child stated.
Yeah, interesting. And also, I'm wondering, how is your experience going through school?
Well, again, I hearken back to, because it was talked about from a very young age in the family to kind of keep certain things private. Mm-hmm. There were very few people who really knew the extent. And even still, there's people that I've known since I was in, you know, grammar school, who still don't even fully comprehend everything. Mm-hmm. That being said, you know, school was an interesting time. And as a child, having a read in to what was going on with other people, there was kind of a dichotomy, because on one end, I would be extremely compassionate and empathetic towards the people that everyone else kind of ousted, because I understood what was going on with them, right? And then there was this other side where the bullies who were just mean to be mean, right? There was really even no back. I ended up getting in trouble one day because this boy was taunting me, and it was relentless. It was day after day after day. Oh. And, you know, finally I turned around and I said, you know, you're the reason why your parents are getting divorced.
And I got you. And he's like, and then he's like, my parents are getting divorced. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. He started crying, and, you know, off I went to the principal's office, and it was a whole sit down of, you know, how does your daughter even know this? Let alone, why would she say this? And when I started telling my story, you know, he keeps bullying me, and there's for no reason that he's doing this. He's putting gum in my hair and just being awful. And then it turns out his parents were getting a divorce, and part of it was because of his behavior. So, but that was one of those lessons that, you know, obviously I was very young, right? I was like 5 or 6 years old. But it was one of those teaching moments where I had to be sat down and taught, hey, just because you know information doesn't mean you use it, and you never wield it against somebody else as a weapon.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Teaching moment, but at the same time, again, that's why a lot of people kind of wonder, like, oh, why did it take me so long to wake up? Well, there's a reason for that, because it's very difficult when you're young. I mean, I cannot tell you the amount of sleepless nights I had because I had, you know, spirits wandering in my room and talking to me and messages and all sorts of stuff happening. And luckily, you know, spiritual defense was talked about a lot and taught in my family, so I knew how to protect myself, but that's a lot.
Have you ever been approached by, an apparition that was full-bodied, actually looks like you and me, and you came to realize that who you're talking to, not what, but maybe what you're talking to was not a human anymore. It was in a spirit form. Have you ever had a situation like that?
Multiple. And they're not all people who were humans who passed away. It's interesting. I was talking about this earlier today. So I had a situation. My mom and I were in a grocery store, and there was a lot going on during this time in our life. And we would go late to go get ice cream, right? Just do mother-daughter fun stuff on a weekend. And there was nobody in the store, no one. And you could hear, I mean, it was so quiet, you could even hear if the door opened. Mm-hmm. So absolutely nothing. And all of a sudden, this man appears in the middle of the aisle, not walked down. He appeared. Okay. And he was so tall. He was almost as tall as the freezer racks.
Oh my.
And we both just kind of looked up, because, you know, I'm rather short, just kind of in awe of, like, that's a really tall man. Yeah. And he gave us the biggest smile, and he said something to my mom. And she kind of went into shock. Mm-hmm. And then he was gone. I didn't even see him walk away. And mm-hmm. So we're both kind of stunned. And she goes, I think that was an angel. Like, that wasn't a human. And I'm like, I don't know what that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're checking out with the one checker who was working. And all of a sudden he pops his head in from outside, gives us a huge smile and a wave, and just disappears. And there was no cars outside, no nothing. So yes, situations like that. Now, mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, humans who have passed over, mm-hmm. I'm a very utilitarian type of person. Spirits don't just randomly contact me or come up to me unless there's a reason. They're mm-hmm. either working with me on something, there's a message that needs to get across, they're helping me with something, I'm going to be helping somebody else, and they're teaching me whatever skill I need or preparing me. So, you know, I have friends who are just straight mediums, and they're just bombarded by people who have departed. I don't see the dead as much as one would think.
Yeah.
You know, you are right. Cemeteries, there's always stuff hanging around, but not always humans. Yeah. I've gone to graveyards where there was nothing. There's residual energy, but there were no people hanging around. Yeah. And it was peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I definitely had my fair share of interesting encounters.
That gentleman that you saw show up in the middle of the aisle, do you recall at all what he was dressed in?
I do remember it was jeans and like a very regular men's shirt, like long sleeve shirt of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that when we got in the car, because my mom was really shooken up about whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got home, she told me whatever he had said to her that I missed completely. Mm-hmm. I didn't even hear him speak. She did. He looked straight at her and said something.
Mm-hmm.
It apparently put everything that was going on that we were having a rough time with in perspective. Like it completely cleared up the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really beautiful. And, you know, I would call that would be a friendly or a helpful visitor.
Mm-hmm. Tell everybody a little bit about when you say I have a sixth sense, what does that mean to you?
For me, definitely it's, you know, sixth sense, not only as it's another sense besides our normal touch, feel, taste, smell, right, and see,
right. Mm-hmm.
But also I go into the sixth chakra, which is the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
And my third eye is completely open. You know, my seventh chakra, which is in your connection to the divine. I've had many different energy workers work on it and just say, whoa, like you are connected. And that's not an ego trip. It's just more of, I innately know that. And I would hope that everyone else would get to that point because mm-hmm. it's so much easier when you're connected with source,
yeah.
God, source, universe, whatever word you want to call it, whatever makes people comfortable to me, it's all the same thing. So mm-hmm. I don't really need to put a word on it, but mm-hmm. because I am so multifaceted mm-hmm. with my different abilities, you know, again, for me, it all comes back to what is needed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never wanted to do psychic readings, you know, like love readings or just because that to me doesn't make sense. Like, well, what's the purpose in you needing to know that?
Mm-hmm.
And even with past life regressions, the only times I've done them on myself or other people is when there's like a sticking point,
mm-hmm.
like there's something you're trying to heal or work through. Mm-hmm. And you cannot figure out for the life of you why this issue won't move or go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes because it is carried over from a past life.
Mm-hmm.
So in cases like that, yes, or if it comes up and it's needed, I've had information come to me and I have absolutely no clue what to do with it at the time. And I'm like, that's super random.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week or two later, something will come up and it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of this bigger picture. So, you know, I don't want to sit over here and make it sound like I have all the answers because I don't. I luckily I get to be surprised in life every once in a while, sometimes a little too surprised. I'm like, heads up would have been nice, but
yeah, I know. Surprise.
Yeah. We're dealing with this now, but
mm-hmm.
you know, for the most part, you know, like major changes, I'm usually given signs and heads up, like something is coming, something's going to change. And I'm usually prepared for that change in a way that I'm so grateful for, because I have gone through some huge ebbs and flows in life. And even doing this is a huge change for me. I mean, even being able to talk about this in public without people thinking, you know, oh God, she's crazy.
Oh.
Or, oh, okay, you know, let's see you do a party trick type of thing. And I don't take well to people like that. If you want to believe, that's fine. I'm not here to ram anything down anyone's throat, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to taunt me because, and what's interesting is the people who usually throw those taunts,
mm-hmm.
depending on how you react, which normally I'll just kind of roll my eyes and walk away, they'll end up finding me later and being like, hey, I really have a question. Like I had an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, you could have approached me that way to begin with. You know,
yeah.
We could have been friends faster.
I think a lot of people are so hesitant about, I don't know what's the word for it really. I mean, the thing is I could see where people are a little bit shy, but yet they don't have to approach things in such a way that makes you put off. And here's a good example here. A lot of people who think you want to do a party trick. I like that terminology right there. What most people don't realize is that and JJ and I talked about this just very briefly before the show, is that when you have a gift or you have gifts or you're coming into learning about what your gifts are, and it's taken me a long time, you know, years to come to realize now what my gifts truly are, and I feel confident about that. It's not like we can do it always on command. Some people have special gifts. They can't do certain things that others can do. If JJ can do one thing, it's in someone who is also noted as either a psychic or a psychic medium or a medium can do something else. You can't expect that they both can do the same thing and still come up with the same thought process in the you know, in the scheme of things. So that's the one misconception that I think a lot of people have, is like, well, if that's the way you are, you should be able to know. You should be God and you should be able to tell me everything I need to know about my life. So then that way I can prepare myself. And I talk to a lot of psychics myself, and I have found that everybody has a different kind of a spin on things, but yet the ultimate answers, what I'm seeking or wondering about, that's probably the best way to say this, seems to be the same theme, but gone about in a very interesting, different way. So one of the things you brought up in your bio is that you're telepathic, and I am also telepathic, but I'm telepathic primarily in a couple ways. One, I came into knowing that I was telepathic when I photographed an image of what I believe to be my great grandfather and my great aunt in a screen window. And I asked them, why did you show it to me? And I heard telepathically, because. Another way I'm telepathic is sometimes when I go into a casino, I'm being directed as to where to sit down to win a jackpot, because I win a lot of them. And then right now I'm dealing with a new phase of being telepathic, and that is I am connected with an ex-boyfriend of mine of 38 years who lives over in the Netherlands. And that's 4,000 miles away. And I can usually sense and tell certain aspects of when he's thinking about me or this or that. And I've always been connected with him since the age of 29. So you're telepathic. In what ways do you know or you're knowing of being telepathic?
So I can actually hear people speak mm-hmm. to me in their mind. Mm-hmm. It's great when I'm on my paranormal team, because most of the time I'm outside while they do their initial walkthrough mm-hmm. and I do what I call it. I blindfold myself. So I basically turn everything off as much as I possibly can. But I get bored, right, while I'm sitting outside. And so a couple of the people on the team are like, hey, every once in a while, can you tell me a joke? And they do it in their mind, and then I'll be outside laughing. So my paranormal partner, Tim, who also has a podcast, he and I have many times where he'll say something in his mind and I'll physically respond with an answer yeah. and vice versa. And with other people. Now, I don't use this just willy-nilly. And it's not like, you know, I walk in somewhere and I can hear what everyone's thinking. I can usually feel what everyone's thinking, but I try to tune that out a little bit just so that I, you know, don't lose it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if someone is intentionally trying to talk to me mm-hmm. or get a hold of me, I usually will sense that
yeah.
Or can hear that. Now, that being said, when you brought up about your ex-boyfriend,
yeah.
this is something, you know, my primary method of coming out of the proverbial broom closet was for me to try to teach, because spiritual awakening and some of these gifts can be real dicey. Yeah. And I spent years before going through the internet and seeing what was out there and who was teaching what. And mm-hmm. the majority of everything was just so dark and dreary. And like, it was this awful process. And it's like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, this is actually really, really fun and beautiful and mm-hmm. wonderful, as long as you go into it with that mindset.
Mm-hmm. So
one of the things that I found a lot of people don't realize is when we have relationships with other people, especially if they're sexual
yeah.
or physical, right, in any capacity, there are energetic cords that develop between ourselves and other people. And you remember that old adage during a breakup, like it felt like my heart was being ripped out of my chest?
Yeah.
That's that energetic cord, that link being ripped away. And it feels like your heart is being ripped out of your chest. It's awful. Been through it. Don't want to do it again. Yeah. That being said, there are a lot of times we have cords with people and we haven't seen them in ages. We haven't kept in contact, but those cords are still there. And that is like, consider that your old, the old way we used to plug in the internet, right? Mm-hmm. From the modem to the computer. Everyone can see how ancient I am now. But it was like that. It's that cord that goes between you and the other person. And that's how you're passing energy and information. Mm-hmm. I had a situation where I had a friendship, a very long, deep friendship, and the cord was just getting twisted and the energy was not going correctly. And so I actually pulled the cord, and within 30 seconds, my phone was blowing up mm-hmm. of them calling me over and over and over again because mm-hmm. they felt it on their end.
Mm-hmm.
So you saying, you know, he's 4,000 miles away and mm-hmm. you can kind of feel what's going mm-hmm. on. That doesn't shock me at all. That's just mm-hmm. part of that energetic cord. And mm-hmm. cords can change. They can go from platonic to something else and vice versa. Mm-hmm. As well, I've had cords with people who work at grocery stores because I talk to them. They can develop very quickly. And that's why it's also important that you take stock when you're doing personal clearings to remove the ones that don't need to be there and to assess the ones that aren't working quite right.
Mm-hmm. It's
amazing how much energy we are being siphoned.
You bring up a good point. And then one of the things that, so just recently I brought this to his attention. And so ever since age 29, I could look at the phone and it would ring. I could think about the mailbox and there'd be a letter there for me. I could think of him and in some way something would happen. And this has gone off and on for years. But what really, you just brought up a really good point, which actually happened. So in May, my husband and I went over to Europe for a couple week trip, but we stopped to see him and I didn't think anything of it at first. I thought, oh, this is just my old boyfriend. It's not a big deal. You know, it's been 38 years. I mean, come on, be real. I've been with my husband for 30, but it was, you just brought up exactly what happened. And, it was a couple days later, and if you want to talk about, I don't know if this is a coincidence or a synchronicity, but a song actually played in a restaurant kind of buffet in the morning that was kind of weird here to say this, but it was Ben, The Two of Us Need Look No More. We both found what we were looking for. And yeah. I just started bawling my head off and I could hardly believe it. And I looked up and I said, if this is a practical joke, and I just kind of said it to the universe, I didn't need that right now. And I just, from that point on, became an absolute mess. Now I finally came out to him and said, you know, I can feel your energy all the time now, and it's very strong. And I just like, you want to go, ooh, I want to get rid of it. Because I think what he was saying is, I can't sense you. Why can you sense me? Do you have any answer for that at all?
I think in his mind, him thinking about you, and maybe having these random thoughts, he's thinking it's just daydreaming or, oh, that would be a logical thing to think that she's doing right now mm-hmm. without realizing, you know, that's part of the connection. And that is a type of psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny to me when I find engineers are my number one. I absolutely love the engineer brain because it works so differently.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine actually did a class for trying to teach like spiritual basics mm-hmm. to engineers. And I was so fascinated by it, just by how they had to word things
mm-hmm.
because they have to make it so step by step. Whereas, you know, like I said, I've been like this my whole life. So for me, I'm like, just do it.
mm-hmm. Right.
But for someone of that, they almost need you to break it down into small baby steps for right. them. Like, okay, but you're just eating your, you know, toast with jam, and all of a sudden you're seeing me putting on pink pajamas, getting into bed. How did you know I was in pink pajamas?
Yeah.
Oh, well, isn't it logical? Like, your favorite color's pink.
Right.
Yeah, but I have many other colored pajamas, right? So little things like that. And it's amazing to me how much people discount mm-hmm. their own innate abilities.
Right.
But I think they have to have enough events occur that you can explain away by simple overthinking, or, you know, oh, it was a synchronicity. Well, how many synchronicities do you need to have until it's an event?
Right, exactly. Have you ever heard of the twin flame theory at all? And because people are always like, no, he's your soulmate. No, I'm happily married here. I don't care if he's my soulmate or not. He's my twin flame. How would you define twin flame to people?
There's a lot of people who might not like what I have to say on this.
So comes the controversy right here. That's all right.
That's fine, right? That's okay. Everyone has their own opinions, and that's absolutely fine. So from my experiences, we can have lots of different soulmates in one life. Mm-hmm. I've had some that were completely platonic, you know, were absolutely just the best of friends in a way that's almost inexplicable with our connection. Right.
Right.
Never anything sexual, just completely platonic.
Right.
And, you know, obviously I've had multiple loves in my life, and it's interesting. Someone said once, there's three loves that you get in your life. There's that young one that's really hot and fiery and passionate, and then it burns out really, really quick, right? And it hurts you to the core.
Yeah.
Then there's that deep love, that one that gets under your skin and all of the muscle tissue. And when it breaks, it takes almost all of you with it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the third one, which is that gentle, unconditional love that hopefully you get to stay with.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so if that's cyclical for everyone, okay, not everyone has a twin flame, in my belief. That being said, twin flames, the rare few that do come down, they are not the most fun relationships. Right. There is a deep bond, but they came here to work on something big, and it's usually not the most pleasant of partings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for myself, no thanks, right? But that being said, you know, like my husband, from the day that I met him, I was a commitment phobe before I had met him. And the day that I met him, I literally said to him, no matter what happens, you're always going to be in my life. I would never use that language with anyone. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm describing to my mom and my best friend, when I get back from the date, I said, I don't know what it is. I just love him. And they both were like, I'm sorry, you said what?
Yeah.
So, you know, and he did not want to make it very easy in the beginning because he was having the same feelings. But, you know, when you meet later in life, when you're older, obviously we both pull up with our own, you know, storage pod of baggage.
Yeah.
And so I knew right away, but I didn't want to scare him. And it got to the point where I was even wondering, like, am I obsessed with him? Like, what is going on? And I ended up doing a past life regression on myself and saw these lifetimes that I had lived with him and the last one of how we parted. And it was so horrible that then I could understand, okay, now I understand why there's this longing for this person that, you know, is so my opposite in so many ways, but we balance each other well. Mm-hmm. That being said, I mean, you can have many great loves in your life, and you can have many deep and beautiful chords with people. And some of them are going to serve their function and they're gone. And other of them are going to stay around. And we kind of don't even understand why that chord is still there or why it exists. But obviously there's something. Right. And
right.
Who knows what is in store for both of you. And it also could be that maybe you're brought into his life right now in order just to help him through the That's awakening that he's about to have. To be honest, I think he's going to have his own reckoning with another situation that ends up happening where everything's going to fall into place. He'll have a very abrupt awakening, like many people are right now. Yeah. I can't tell you the amount of people that I'm having wake up. And these are some people who came from very dogmatic, religious, boxed in backgrounds
right.
that have completely woken up with gifts. One of them, the fastest that I've had was 5 days. To the point where I was almost concerned, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
So, but that's the point that we're getting to in the world, Kelly, to be honest. I mean, we're getting to a precipice that everyone's going to be forced to wake up or their mind's going to break. And that's why so many things are being disclosed and talked about. Whether you want to ignore it all or not, it's out there. And there's tons of scientific data to back all of this up too. I mean, the United States government spent, I think, over like $3.9 trillion that we quote unquote know about on researching people like us and things to do with that. So why would they do that if there's no there?
Give us your spin on dream precognition.
Sure. So I believe that there's three different types of dreams. So there's the subconscious garbage that just comes out. And those are the ones where, you know, you're eating a happy meal with Barney, the dinosaur, right? Type of thing. Like just weird. Yeah. You've seen a bunch of commercials, you watched a movie or something, and that happens.
Yeah.
And that usually, like when you sound it out, you're like, oh yeah, I have seen that movie, or I saw that commercial, or we talked about that. Those are just subconscious garbage coming out dreams.
Yeah.
The next one are the precognition dreams, or something that's going on currently in order to give you a heads up as to the situation, maybe something that you've been ruminating on, but the dream kind of puts things into perspective. So now you know how to deal with it, or you know the person's intentions, or straight what's going to happen. And there's loads of people throughout time and history who've had dreams and then they end up happening. Sometimes they're very symbolic. Most of mine, if there's nothing I can do about the event, for instance, they come across very symbolic, where once the event happens, I'm like, that was right on the money. And then there's the third dreams, which are some of those really, really out there ones. You know, this, my mom used to laugh and say Steven Spielberg should have just called me for movie ideas when I was young, because I would have the, it would take me 2.5 hours to explain the entire dream to her. They were that complex. And those are the dreams when you're doing work on other levels. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, you're allowed to see it. And those are the ones, you know, I have tons of dreams. I'm not me. Mm-hmm. I've been a man. I've been a woman. I haven't even been human in a few. Mm-hmm. I'm in places that I don't recognize, not always on this planet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why would I have something so vivid to the point where I could tell you what things tasted like and smelled like? Mm-hmm. And again, I just feel that's a part of me elsewhere on another level that's doing some work or living a life. And for whatever reason, I've been privy to that information.
Mm-hmm. It is fascinating though. Did you ever, and it sounds to me like you probably have you had some of those dreams that are, you're like, oh geez, I wish I never saw that, or whatever, or this is going to happen and you can't control it anyway. Have you ever had any of those types of dreams?
A lot. Yeah. I keep a dream journal as a result. There are certain things that I've dreamt and seen that I won't even talk about with anyone. I'll just keep them extremely private because A, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yep.
And B, it's horrible and horrific, and it has to play out. And for whatever reason, I don't know why I had to see it, but okay. I've had other people in situations just like what you were describing, where they were having prophetic dreams of things that were going to happen to friends, family members, et cetera. And just like you, even though they're older, right? They're teens and 20s, thinking, am I causing this to happen?
Yeah.
And I remember this one girl at one of the conventions I was at recently, and she came up and she said, I've never told anyone this before. And she tells me this dream that she had had and what ended up happening after. And she's crying. She goes, did I make that happen? Mm. And I said, no, sweetie, you were given a heads up so that you could help the rest of your family grieve. Mm-hmm. Because that was a huge loss. Yeah. And when she thought about it, she was like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't realize. And I said, right, because you're the rock that everyone leans on. And if you weren't given a heads up as to what was to occur, you would have broken down just like everyone else, and everyone else would have been a mess, yeah. A little puddle. So this is the side to this part. Everyone thinks, oh, how cool would it be to have these gifts and this and that. There are a lot of downsides to it.
Yeah.
I always put on a smile and I trudge through. I know there's a bigger purpose, and you know, I always feel blessed that I'm privy to information, even when sometimes I'm like, I wish I wasn't.
What has your experience been like with that? Are you able to turn it on and off so you don't have to go through those types of situations?
Yes. But also, it's interesting. I did a YouTube about this last month. There was a specific example of something that had happened that could have been absolutely disastrous. These are gifts. And when you're given a message, it doesn't mean you immediately just blurt out the message. Sometimes you need to qualify, justify, ask, and understand what it is that you're receiving and why. Now, if I'm in a grocery store and I'm hearing that person's grieving, they need a hug, I'm not going to go over and just randomly hug a stranger. But what I will do is say, okay, spirit, am I to be the one who's to do that? Or is there a better choice? And then I'll hear, no, you need to do it. And I'll say, okay, then I need you to help set up and create a situation where that happens organically so that I don't feel super awkward and this person isn't taken off guard. Right. And I'm telling you, when I am called to do something, mm-hmm. it is, I have had the most wild experiences, especially in supermarkets. Mm-hmm. In one occasion, we're in like the canned fruit aisle, right? And I'm hearing that this person needs this hug. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm okay with hugging a stranger, right? But like, don't just want to bombard someone with it. And so I kind of inch over and I'm looking at applesauce or something, like all 5,000 brands of it. And the person dropped the can and I caught it in the air before it fell on the ground.
Yeah.
And they came over and they said, thank you so much. That was such a good catch. And they just start crying. And I looked at them and I said, are you okay? And I grabbed their hand and they said, I could really use a hug right now. And at that moment I was like, well, all right, spirit, you set it up and I'm going to bat it home. So, yeah. But I try never to just take information and just blurt it out. I always qualify and justify. I ask, is this right? Is this for me to even tell the person? Because there's been times when I've been told stuff and been told, do not say anything to them. This is for me to know whether it's for me to keep my distance from the person, mm-hmm. and or maybe just know I'm going to need to be there for them in the future, mm-hmm. with whatever it is that they're going to be going through or are going through. But I do not believe in foisting what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And I also have asked for that information to come through pre-filtered so that I'm not just getting bombarded with wildness.
How does this information come to you telepathically?
No, it's in a myriad of ways. Some of it is I just know it. I would say that's probably 70% is I just suddenly know something and it's forefront of my mind, very definite. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's new. Other times I'm hearing it. Sometimes I'm seeing it, feeling it, all the things, right? All the senses. But it really depends on the situation as well and with whoever the person is that I'm going to be dealing with. Sometimes, like, there was one situation where I was listening to a podcast episode and this spirit, I was just doing my makeup, right? Like minding my own business completely alone. And this spirit comes up and starts screaming in my ear to tell them something. And I was like, I don't know these people. I'm not going to go randomly tell strangers this message. Mm-hmm. And he just kept on and on to the point where I could see him actually in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I did in that situation is I knew someone who knew them, and I said, hey, if this is appropriate, go ahead and send this, but I have no clue what this means or why the spirit is this emphatic about getting this information to them. And it worked out great. But again, I'm going through, I don't get ego off of getting weird messages for people. If anything, it's completely awkward to be like, hi, you don't know me, but let me tell you X, Y, and Z. And I do believe that there's a very fierce responsibility that we have, especially myself. I'm a light worker, right? So I work for the light. I work for the good. I work for healing and helping people. I never want to harm anyone. And so for myself, if I'm getting information, I have a responsibility to make sure that I vetted all that information, A, that it's from a pure source, you know, that it's not something bad trying to get in there because they're wily and they're wormy. Mm-hmm. Trying to get in there in order to say something or pivot someone else's life in another direction. Mm-hmm. And there's the other part, like you said, what if you're wrong? Yeah. And this is why I've never, ever enjoyed, you know, the love readings or questions like that, because A, people are going to do what they're going to do. And I cannot tell you the amount of times I have told someone, okay, well, you know, I see you meeting this person this time. And they will do everything possible to make sure that time never happens due to their own fear. And I'm like, and then they're like, oh, well, see, you were wrong. Well, yeah, but if you had just gone with the flow, you know, if you're not ready to meet someone, then don't ask. And using good judgment too with who it is that you're speaking to. If you know that this person has a propensity to do everything the exact opposite of what they're told, then, it's the whole, even in the Bible, it says pearls before swine. Yeah. Be careful who you're telling stuff to, because some people, it's just a novelty, and other people are going to let it run their absolute life.
Yes.
I had a person once who it was every day to the point where they started asking me, well, what color should I wear today? And I was like, whoa. Like, you should know how to dress yourself. Like, this is not a lean on me to live your life. I don't want to live your life. I've got enough going on in my own. Mm-hmm. And you need to start making better decisions for yourself. This is all within each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. I'm not anything special. The only difference is I've been like this my whole life, and I've had, you know, some more years in training at it than other people have. Mm-hmm. But I believe everyone has this ability. And if you're leaning on somebody else completely for everything, that's not smart.
How does it affect you?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those big untalked about things within our community. And there's some people who will say everything is sunshine and rainbows. Oh, when I do this work, I'm so invigorated and, you know, oh, I get healed from it. And that's fantabulous. Yeah. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah.
And there are often times when I am doing this work when I also get invigorated, especially because the work I do is it's different, right? Let's face it. I'm teaching and I'm basically doing energy and entity cleaning, which is the ugly stuff. Let's face it. It's, you know, it's exorcisms and energy clearing. It's not, I mean, obviously there's healing there as well. So the wonderful part is at the end when the person is feeling good and rejuvenated and all of everything falls into place. That's beautiful, but it definitely takes a toll. I am running a ton of energy through me. Mm-hmm. The best example is when you charge your cell phone, you know how there's the regular charger, right? Where it's slow and steady. Mm-hmm. And then there's the rapid charge and your phone heats up and the charger heats up and you're afraid like it's going to melt something.
Yes.
Basically what I'm doing when I'm funneling a ton of energy like that and doing clearings. And so, you know, there are times when I already know in advance, okay, I can do a couple back to back. And then there are times when I'm like, I need to do absolutely nothing for about 2 weeks and decompress and let my body. I've noticed that my mineral levels definitely take a hit the more of this work that I do. I have to take an insane amount to the point where my doctors are even like, what's going on with iron and magnesium, because I run through it so fast. And just to recharge, you know, it's not always fun with some of the stuff that I personally am dealing with people, But also because when I'm doing work with people, I'm physically where I'm at, but I am with them. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing classes occasionally. And when I do my classes, you know, part of the consent to be in the class is I'm doing energy work with everyone in the class, which means I'm divvied up between however many people are in the class. The last class I had, I think there was 10 or 11 people. So I was divvied up in 11 different spots besides my physical body, doing energy work on 11 different individuals at the same time. I needed a week and a half nap after that.
Yeah, I would say.
So,
yeah.
But I have really, really lucked out with GP doctors, general practitioner doctors, that I've just asked Spirit, hey, I would like someone who is accepting and that I can be open with. The last three that I've had, current one and the last two, have all been pretty open. The one I had before my current one, I kept having this weird issue where I would bloat up every month, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a normal time of the month to be bloating, right? And I thought, this is really odd. And I mean, I don't eat a ton of salt in my diet, so this was confounding to me, and I did all the food charts and everything, and I could not figure it out. So I bring it to her, and she's looking at it, she's a little confounded too, and then she goes to the computer, click 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 click, and she turns around, she goes, I'm not talking to you as your doctor right now. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
She goes, you're a moon child. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, you bloat with the cycles of the moon.
Oh, brother.
And I was like, what? And she was like, basically, when the moon is full, you're full. And then when it's a new moon, you de-bloat. And I'm like, oh, but it revolutionized my life. So now I understand that. And now I'm able to account for that.
Yeah.
And instead of thinking, you know, do I have high blood pressure? Do I need, you know, a water pill or whatever?
Right.
So that was helpful to have that. My current doctor understands what I do. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, we have me on the highest doses that I can take. We check my levels a lot. I actually have brought in scientific research, which again, there are documents that have been released to the public about people like us and how we run through certain minerals and vitamins.
Yeah.
And I brought that in. She looked at it and she said, okay. And then I was getting iron IVs for a time just to supplement, because we've run all the other tests, right? We know I don't have internal bleeding. We know all the other stuff isn't going on. So what's left? And then when I brought this in and it's scientific journal papers, we're able to address it. So there are ways around it, you know, but you do have to be blessed and also really, really, really cautious who you just bring this up to.
Police departments, they do work. They would never admit this to anyone, but they do work with a lot of psychics that help them crack their cases. They just don't come out and say, oh, by the way, thanks to so-and-so, we were able to find so-and-so. They do.
Well, they can't legally,
they can't, right?
Exactly. They can't legally, because that's not going to stand up in court of,
Correct.
You know, Miss Cleo called in and gave us a tip, and then we knew where the body was, and now we know who did it. And I understand all of that. And it's got to be really, really hard for people in those positions to have that information and not know what to do with it. Do you tell someone? Do you not? How do you get it to the right parties? And, you know, thankfully, I don't have that. Very often, normally it's, you know, oh, someone's missing, and it's kind of like, I know instinctually this isn't going to end well. Or in other cases, this is going to end and it's going to be a wild story.
Exactly.
And there's been more than a few of those as of late, but I don't envy those people. But you are right. There are a lot of police departments and other, you know, government agencies that work on crimes that also work.
Yes.
With psychics as well. They just have to take a weird diversion route because, again, not in the legal system yet.
I want to talk, how about we talk a little bit about astral projection and what your thoughts are about astral projection and how you can explain that to people. And I don't know if you have an example, but why don't we try that one?
Do you want me to do it?
Oh, astral projection. First, explain to people what it is.
Well, so It's basically I'm physically here.
Yeah.
But I'm also where you are.
Oh, okay.
Or wherever I need to be.
Right.
And I can do it current, and I can also go backwards and sometimes forward in time, depending on the situation and the need. This all, again, I reiterate, I am a very, very utilitarian type of person. There has to be a need. I don't do this just because I want to know or I'm curious or willy-nilly. I have before gotten my hand slapped. No, thank you. It's one of the things that I've been asked a lot if I could teach. And it's one of the things that I have pretty much across the board said I absolutely will not, because I don't feel that everyone is going to have the same morals and ethics that I would. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want someone randomly checking in on me. I'm huge on consent. Mm-hmm. I will not look or do energy work or anything without full consent of the person. And a lot of times, like when I go, so for instance, someone will ask me like, hey, do I have an attachment? Mm-hmm. And I will get their consent in order to pop over. Mm-hmm. And part of that consent involves them sitting, because when I come over, my energy is pretty strong and some people get lightheaded. They call it blissed out is the normal feeling I get, and sometimes very warm or sometimes very cold, depending. Mm-hmm. And so when I jump over, if I feel any fear from them whatsoever, I leave immediately, because the last thing I want to do is cause anyone fear. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of weird, right? Like, I mean, you and I are a little more used to spirits being around, but when you feel someone else in your energy field, it is strange. Mm-hmm. But it allows me, and the reason I do that is because I can look from afar, but things can hide. So mm-hmm. when I physically go and I'm in someone's energy field, mm-hmm. anything that's in there cannot hide from me. Mm-hmm. It has to show itself, because it's like being in the room, right? And seeing when something happens. Mm-hmm. So the way I work is a little different than most people, but, and it is a little more invasive as well, right? As a result, because I'm in your energy field, you are feeling me, I am feeling you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get really odd hits like, hey, you're hungry, you need to eat a sandwich. Or, you know, and other times it's okay, you've got this, that, and the other going on that needs to be addressed. And for the most part, I'm always going to try to teach people to take care of these things themselves, because that's really what I want, is people to be self-reliant, but also embrace those gifts within themselves and start using that, and then teach proper spiritual protection. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many of us empaths and sensitives running around in the world, soaking up everyone's everything. And let's face it, it is a ridiculous time for energy right now. Like, it is strong and it is intense.
Yeah.
And so people like us, if we're not putting our bubbles up, shields, whatever word you want to call it, mm-hmm. we're getting bombarded. Mm-hmm. And I have enough to deal with in my daily life, my mundane life, let alone with all the spiritual energy, then to pick up on the entire planet and what's going on. So I have to be very, very diligent about my spiritual protection. Mm-hmm. And that's also what I try to help others with, because the waking up process, if you don't have any protection measures in place, you are going to get bombarded. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's been so hard for so many people.
Do you say astral projection is similar to remote viewing? Is that kind of how you're terming it?
So astral projection is I'm there.
Okay.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. I am actually there. Mm-hmm. Remote viewing for me is like I have a drone looking at the mm-hmm. thing. So I'm not physically there. I'm not energetically there.
Yeah.
Almost like I'm looking through a drone or a camera, right? Yeah. Into the space or the situation.
Yeah.
There is a distinction between the two. Obviously, astral projection takes a lot more, right? Than remote viewing. Remote viewing is like looking at something, versus astral projection is you're physically there, you're able to interact. It's a lot more detailed. Okay. And again, you know, not everyone uses it for great things. My mom had a horrible situation when she was younger with someone who had that, and she was getting into the shower and could feel this person in there energetically, mm-hmm. and had to, you know, energetically kick them out. And that was just gross and creepy. Yeah. And so Yeah. And that's why also I'm very wary in what I teach in regards to that, because if you get a really good foundation and you have a really good foundation and morals and you understand your responsibility and all of that, okay, then you can be taught.
What I'm going to have you do is share with people how they can get a hold of you, how they can find your pages, and I'll make sure that all this gets into the show notes at the end. So take it from there.
Thank you. It's JJRose777 across the board. That's YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. You can go ahead and send me a message. If you have individual questions on YouTube, I actually have playlists depending on where you're at. I recommend everyone start with my 7-minute introduction that literally talks about me. If you vibe with me, great. Go ahead and reach out. If you don't, no worries. There are tons of other people out there like me who can do wonderful things that you vibe with. The only thing that I ask is please don't put any negativity out into the world. That we don't need more of that. There's enough of that already going on. That being said, Kelly, this has been an absolute pleasure. I so appreciate you making my big debut.
We'll have her back again at another time. And your debut was wonderful, very insightful, very informative, and so grateful that you're on the show today. So on that behalf and the show, thank you so much for being with us.